Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers are moving back into the West Bank city of Ramallah. The Israeli cabinet is meeting at this hour to discuss its response to last night's suicide bombing. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has announced that he's prepared to implement an unconditional ceasefire immediately. But shortly before he spoke today, Palestinian gunmen raided a Jewish settlement in the West Bank, killing three Israelis. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Jerusalem. Peter, is the sense there now that at least a temporary reoccupation of Palestinian areas is now inevitable?
Leanne, the signs are very strong. All day, tanks, troop carriers, and other military vehicles have been moving north from Jerusalem up into position around the West Bank city of Ramallah. Palestinian school children were sent home early in Ramallah. Shops were quickly boarded up, as were UN buildings and others. European and U.S. passport holders were advised by their governments to evacuate the city. I was in East Jerusalem today and met several people who had left Ramallah for that reason. They were told the situation could get dangerous. There were, I should mention, a group of hundreds of Italian peace activists who were sent into Ramallah. They're here on some solidarity mission with Palestinians. They'll be staying with families there. But some of the people who live near the police stations or Yasser Arafat's compound, for instance, are finding other quarters for the night. So clearly there's a lot of anticipation that something's going to happen.
And what about the effort to round up suspected terrorists? How far are the Israelis likely to go?
We are waiting to see on that. There's a split within the Sharon government. The right-wing ministers are stepping up their calls now for a much more sweeping reoccupation, some even calling for a complete reoccupation of the Palestinian territories. Those more in the left, the Labor Party ministers, are advising a more limited approach. They argue that the kind of intensive house-to-house invasions that we saw earlier this month in the refugee camps in the West Bank, Tukharm, Jenin, Nablus, and down in Bethlehem, simply caused unnecessary damage to civilian life and property. And they say in the long run it drives more young Palestinians into the camps of the suicide bombers and the gunmen. But as you mentioned, just one day after this terrible suicide bombing in Netanya that killed 20 and injured 130, Palestinian attackers struck again. Tonight it was in the Jewish settlement near Nablus. The early reports are three Israelis killed and two wounded. So clearly there is a lot of anger on the Israeli side.
Despite the renewed violence, however, U.S. envoy Anthony Zinni is still there. He's been in touch with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, and the ceasefire we have Yasser Arafat saying he's willing to implement one. Where does Zinni's mission stand now?
Well, the U.S. insists that the Zinni mission isn't over, and when the retired Marine General returned to the region, he said he was going to be here as long as it takes to achieve a ceasefire. Yasser Arafat this evening held a hastily arranged news conference, and in it he said that he has told General Zinni that he's prepared to implement a ceasefire immediately without conditions based on the George Tenet truce plan. If Mr. Arafat was hoping for a quick positive response from Israel, he's not getting it, at least not yet. Aides to Prime Minister Sharon say Arafat's words aren't enough. Israel's already paved the way for a ceasefire, they say, and in return, its citizens have been shot and blown up. I think it really now depends on how Zinni responds to this Arafat overture and whether Washington presses Israel to keep the diplomatic channels open, even as the Bush administration continues to support Israel's right to defend itself.
And briefly, Peter, of course, all this is happening as the Arab League has endorsed the Saudi Mideast peace plan this morning in Beirut. What kind of reaction are you hearing from both Israelis and Palestinians to this plan?
The impact here has been muted by a couple of factors. First, the disarray of the summit itself and the perceived snub of Arafat, who had some problems trying to address the delegates. Also, several leaders absent besides Arafat. They haven't really had an opportunity to present this Saudi initiative as a true, solid position. On the Israeli side, a cautious, almost neutral reaction and very chilly reception to certain aspects, refugees and normal relations. And at the moment, as I said, the immediate concern have a lot more to do with Palestinian gunmen and Israeli tanks rather than the diplomatic initiatives.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Leanne.
NPR's Peter Kenyon updating us from Jerusalem.